The Diocesan Search Committee of the Diocese of New York and New Jersey presented questions to the nominees they will present at the upcoming Extraordinary Diocesan Assembly for the High Office of Diocesan Bishop. The questions, offered in interview format, were formulated to allow the nominees an opportunity to address, in their own voices, the areas of concern most widely shared throughout the diocese, as delegates and faithful of the parishes seek to prayerfully discern how they shall approach the assembly and the upcoming election. There are two parts to each interview. Each part is comprised of two questions and the responses from the nominee. The following is part two of the interview with Archpriest David Brum. Father David, what are the fundamental attributes you would most highly value in a diocesan hierarch of our church today?
Well, the first and foremost qualities that I would most highly regard in a diocesan hierarch today are the same qualities that I value in a spiritual father. Entrusted with the care of souls, he must first and foremost love those who are entrusted to his care. He must love them. He must recognize in each and every one the image of Christ himself. The bishop, as a spiritual father, has to be someone whose personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is at the very heart of all that he is and everything that he does. The Lord Jesus Christ alone must be the center of his life. Of course, the bishop must be a person of prayer. His personal prayer life should be evident in his celebration of the church's liturgical and public prayer. And his personal prayer life should inspire and inform his relationship with his closest collaborators, the priests, and with his relationship to all the faithful for whom he cares. Everything we say about the ministry of the bishop, his role as a servant, the sacrifices required of him, his way of life, everything we say about his ministry must flow from his special relationship with the Lord and the call, his call, to be a living sign of the Lord's presence and action in the life of the church. If the bishop is to be an icon of Christ to his flock, he has to reflect deeply on what the Gospels tell us about the Lord Jesus, what he came to do for us, how he carried out his ministry, how he lived his life. In all of this, of course, the bishop must also be a good listener, someone who hears what people have to say about what's in their hearts. He must also be willing to accept counsel and to make good use of the expertise and the experiences and the insights of others. He must be able to encourage others' talents and gifts and to bring out of others their own God-given abilities. The bishop must be a person who's not afraid to ask for the help and the assistance of others, especially in those areas in which he has little or maybe no experience. And he should see himself as a priest among priests, as a Christian among Christians. Despite his office of service, he is still one of the flock of which Christ is the Good Shepherd and the Eternal High Priest. The bishop must be able to speak the truth in love, even when the truth of the gospel, is not readily received, even when it's rejected outright. And he must be willing to bear the necessary burdens of his call to service. He has to be upright, unwavering, ready even to suffer outrage and insult for the sake of the Lord. And we see that time and time again in the Acts of the Apostles, where we're told that the apostles rejoiced because they'd been found worthy to suffer for the sake of the name of Jesus. It might go without saying, but the bishop must also be patient. He must exhibit patience in his own life. He must be willing to bear the sorrows and share in the challenges of all those who are entrusted to his care, clergy and faithful alike. The bishop must lead by example. He must lead by example in forgiveness. He must lead by example in his care and concern for the least among us. He must lead by example in his concern for those who are marginalized in the church and in society. He must lead by example in reaching out to all the members of the flock who are given to his care. The bishop, I think, should see his ministry as a call to service in imitation of Christ. He's an image, an icon of Christ the servant, the one who came not to be served, but to serve. Throughout my years as a priest, I've always felt that the image of Christ washing the feet of his disciples at the Last Supper, that image of Christ on the floor, kneeling on the floor before his disciples and washing their feet, that image should be the first and foremost in the spirituality and self-understanding of the priest. And the same is true for bishops. They are first of all servants, servants among other servants. All Christians serve the Lord. And the bishop, in his role as an overseer, must be the first one who is willing to give his life in service to Christ, in service to the church.
Father David, what are your thoughts about the Diocese of New York and New Jersey? What are its challenges, opportunities, direction?
I'm pleased to say that I had the blessing of serving a short time as a priest of the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. During that time, as well as during the six or so additional years I served on the East Coast, I had many countless opportunities to witness the Lord at work in the lives of His people within the diocese. On many occasions, I was uplifted and inspired by the dedication of my brother priests, priests who serve their flock sometimes in the face of great challenges and often with great sacrifice. On many occasions, I was also inspired by the faith and the dedication of innumerable faithful, both those raised in the Orthodox Church since childhood, as well as those who have accepted the faith as adult converts. There is a lot of talent within the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. The clergy and all the faithful have been blessed with many gifts, and they're willing to offer those gifts to the Lord in the diocese. Unfortunately, sometimes it seems that these talents, these gifts, these abilities were not always recognized. They were not always nurtured. They were not always utilized. But that being said, I think that the future of the diocese is an exciting one. This is an exciting time. Whoever is selected to serve as bishop, as the pastor among pastors, as the servant among servants, whoever is elected will be able to turn to the clergy and faithful with the full knowledge that they are willing, ready, and able to come together in unity and to offer their services to the Lord, to come together in unity and continue to build up the body of Christ in the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. The diocese has been given many blessings by God. Among these blessings, we see the diversity of language groups, the diversity of cultures, and the differences in parish life, the many very different experiences of parish life, from the more rural or smaller parishes, to missions, to parishes in the very heart of New York City, from more newly established missions to old established parishes that have already celebrated their centennials. Among the blessings we find in the diocese are easily accessed resources for growing in and learning more about the Orthodox faith. We can look to the availability, the ready availability of theological education. All these things and so many other things as well add to the richness and the strength and the beauty of the diocese. And of course, the clergy and their dedication to the church, their dedication to those they've been called to serve, and the willingness of the faithful to live and grow in the Orthodox faith, the willingness of the faithful to share their talents, to lead in their parish communities, their willingness to share the Orthodox faith with those around them, all these add to that treasury of the blessings given to this diocese. Of course, there are also many challenges faced within the diocese. The older established parishes face their own special unique set of challenges, as do the mission communities and other parishes as well. All must face the question of what it means to live and proclaim the fullness of the gospel in the place and the time in which they live. We can question about the challenges offered by the very diversity that we also celebrate. How do language groups and cultures relate to one another within the diocese? There's also a blessing to those challenges and the other challenges that exist, because each parish and each mission within the diocese, every priest and deacon and every member of the faithful within the diocese, all of them can rely on others, on other parishes, on other missions, on other clergy, on other faithful. They can rely on others to assist and support them and help them in fulfilling their mission of proclaiming the gospel. I have great hopes for the future of the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. The diocese is blessed with dedicated clergy and committed faithful. I'm confident that they, with their new archpastor, with their new father in Christ, with their new bishop, they will together be able to chart a future direction that will inspire them and further the work of the gospel, the work of the church. And I'm confident they will give themselves to the work of the church, that work to which they have been so faithfully committed throughout these many years.
This concludes part 2 of the interview with Archpriest David Brum.